Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking a little bit of baseball. We have a fellow in our community who was the home plate umpire for the Little League World Series back in 2007 between Japan and America. His name is Benny Wayne. He was raised right here in Jessamine County. He's going to come in and tell us all about his career and how it felt to umpire that most important game that year. We'll do that right after a word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things of our county. Well, today we're going to talk to a fella who's from here, his family's from here, and he got involved in something that was quite unusual. You don't find many people that has done what he has done. It has to do with baseball, and we'll let him explain that a little bit more in just a moment. Benny Wayne is with us this morning. Good morning, Benny.
Good morning, Doug. How you doing, Doug?
I'm good. We want to talk a little bit. We'll learn more about the baseball thing in just a minute, but let's start by introducing yourself to the people listening. Tell us about your family. Tell us your mom and dad and your siblings, and I guess they've been here, gosh, for a long time, haven't they?
Born and raised here. My dad was Lewis Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody called him Dick Wayne. My mother was Evelyn. Everybody called her Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
I have four children. Marsh was up, be the oldest, and then I'm next, and then my sister Patricia, and we called her Sis all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And youngest brother was Don.
Okay. Let's expand just a little bit more about those particular. Well, let's start with your dad. He was a Wayne. Now, was the Wayne family always from here?
No, Dad was raised in Mercer County. He
okay.
was from Mercer County.
And
he
me.
Was,
made his way over.
Made his way over here, and evidently, you know, I never did know much how they mom and dad met. Mama was born and raised here in Jessamine County. She was a Calico.
And there's relations in there to the Cormans and a bunch of them down in that area. Okay.
James Corman.
Yeah.
Right. Mammy, what we always called her. She raised Mama.
Okay.
From child and everything. That would have been Clay's grandmother.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would be her grandmother, my great-great-grandmother.
Yeah, okay.
So that's how we were kind of related, by the basic cousins.
Now, Morris, let's start with the oldest and we'll work our way down. Morris, still around his family?
Yes, Morris lives here in Jessamine County. He's retired. Of course, he's 4 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
He worked for Gateway. He served in the military, stationed in Germany there.
Mm-hmm.
And he married a girl named Georgie David.
Now, how many kids do they have?
They had two.
All right. Yeah. Now, I'm going to skip you and go to Pat. A lot of people will know Pat because Pat was involved in education here for a long time with preschool and stuff.
Yes, Sis taught preschool for I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
It was up there behind the courthouse at church.
Garden Gate, yeah.
Garden Gate. She was there. And, of course, she's retired now. And
mm-hmm.
She had three children.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley and Benjamin being the youngest,
mm-hmm.
and all of them who's on the police force here.
Right.
He's been there 20 years, and Bradley serves in the Air Force.
Now, Pat's husband was a military man, too, wasn't
and
he?
Her husband was military, and I think he's, I don't know, 34 years.
Yeah, long time.
He's CW5.
Yeah.
I think Bradley was a command sergeant in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them been tours over in Iraq. And Afghanistan.
Yeah. What about the youngest brother, Don? Tell us about him.
Don basically, you know, he started working with Sergeant Greenleaf out here.
Yeah.
He worked there 32 years, and he was going to, he changed job. He left there and worked for a company out in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember how long he'd been up there.
Let's mention Don's family.
Don's got two boys, Michael, who's in the military, too. He's a major.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting ready to go back to Afghanistan
for
February. And Stephen, which nicknamed Beaver, he's the principal in Murfreesboro, Tennessee at elementary school.
Really? I didn't know that.
He was assistant principal of high school.
Yeah.
He's got the full-time principal job at elementary school in Murfreesboro.
Of course, their mother and Don's wife was a Brogel, Jenlyn Brogel, who's kin to all the Collins and all that bunch of the Brogels in town, too. Big family. So you got you four kids. Now, let's go on with you. Out of the four, though, you were the one, I guess, growing up that kind of liked sports. Talk a little bit about your childhood sports.
Well, I started playing for Little League Baseball. I was in, you know, they had the first year they had minor. They formed the Little League and everything. Dad was involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
And Holton Wiss were basically my first coach there in minor league. And then I played for Joe Darley, who was city commissioner in Little League there for 4 years. And then got on into Babe Ruth, which was it was Babe Ruth here. My coach there was Billy Wells.
Oh, yeah, okay. He was a big ball player in his time.
Billy Wells, he could tell you all about baseball, about the
Reds. Yes, that's right.
So him and Dad, they both worked together. And Billy had a Connie Mack team. Here for several years.
What was the difference in the Connie Mack and in the Babe Ruth?
Connie Mack was aged basically from 16 to 17, 18-year-olds.
Older kids.
Several guys, played there. With them. Of course, they had the Nixfield Knicks.
Yeah.
That was Jimmy Ed and him, Jimmy Assure.
Uh-huh.
He was involved in the Knicks. Knicks with Raleigh Teeter.
Yeah.
He was in there. And,
didn't Raleigh play for a farm team, a pro farm?
I think so.
I think he did. A lot of baseball, especially baseball, and that's the sport I guess you were most involved in. Is that right?
Baseball, basketball, because I was going to high school here. I graduated from Jessup County in 69.
Yeah.
I started keeping a book for him. I kept it when I was senior.
Yeah.
Out there, I kept 27 years at the high
basketball.
School. Basketball.
Yeah.
I kept Fisher Booker for 27 years. I had seven coaches. There were three superintendents, and I think there were three principals.
Let's talk about maybe some of those coaches. Were you 69? Would that have been Stevenson?
No. Bill Fryman was the first coach.
Okay.
Bill Fryman was there. And then he was there only maybe 2 years, I think.
I guess Elmer would have been before that.
Elmer before that.
Okay,
Elmer
so
was
Bill
football
Fryman.
Coach.
All right.
And Bill Maxwell, he was the athletic director. And Elmer, when he left football, he went to Eastern.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Along with Mr. Lockridge.
Right, right.
Mr. Lockridge was the principal there in high school when I first started.
He was. Oh, yes. Justin
and
County
then,
High?
And then Mr. Blankenship come in.
Yeah.
He come in my sophomore or maybe my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Lockridge and Bill Case was basketball coach, Elmer Stevens football coach, and baseball coach.
Mm-hmm.
But I started keeping book there for Bill Fryman. Then the next coach kept for Steve Dessens.
Oh, wow.
Right, when I started keeping for Steve, I went in the Army. I was stationed. I was gone for 3 years, got back and went in 70, got back out in June of 74 or 73.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve there, I kept started keeping book there again. And that's basically the only time I missed a game. From that point to I went into service, and when I come back, home or away, I drove. And I had 249 straight ball games I never missed.
Wow.
That's home and away games.
That's a bunch.
And the only way I missed that when they wanted me to go scout a team, and that was Norman Nasco. Norman Nasco coming here after Steve Deskins.
Yeah.
And then we had Brad Mounts.
Uh-huh.
I think Brad was before Steve Deskins did.
Yeah, yeah.
He played UK. He was on here for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he left, and then Steve Desmond took over. Norman Nasco come in. Then he left. Joe Kraus come in.
Mm-hmm.
He coached Wall, and then Julian Cunningham come in.
Who had the team that Keith Peel and,
Keith
and
Peel,
Chris Paul, Holtman, who is
Chris
now
Holtman.
The coach of Ohio State,
right.
And Bingham.
Paul Bingham.
And then Burton, Alan Burton. Yeah. Is
Kevin
right?
Burton.
Yeah, Kevin Burton,
Kevin
who
Burton,
teaches
yeah.
Union.
That was 1990.
Yeah, big team.
Julian Cunningham was a coach.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first year that anybody from state tournament that went state tournament here.
Yeah.
Les Cunningham was a guard. Chris Holtman was a guard. Kevin Burton was a forward. Paul was a forward. And Keith was the center.
Mm-hmm.
We played Firedale in the King of the Bluegrass tournament that year. We finished third. Eastern won it, and they had two kids that played. Both of them were pretty good. They went to, I think one of them went to Tennessee. But anyway, they didn't want to beat us, beat us five.
Yeah.
And I think we'd have been in the finals if it hadn't been free throw shooting.
Really?
Coven Cat beat us. We was, as a team, that's pretty good for a team for shooting free throw about 74%.
Sure.
As a team.
Sure.
We shot about 50% that day.
Yeah, just an off night on the
good hitting free throws.
Wow.
But they wind up beating us eight, and Coven Cat wind up, was runner-up against Easter.
Yeah.
That was a big year. I remember when that happened, and I mean that was big in this town.
Just about closed the town up.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So you did the basketball. Now let me backtrack just for a moment. You said you went in the Army in 70?
Went in 70.
Were you working at that time anywhere?
I worked at that time over for the State Department.
Okay.
I just started up there. Right. I've worked there since summertime, like part-time,
uh-huh,
and going to high school. But then I got involved with Little League, but when more of that, I started umpiring there before I went.
Okay, all right. And
so Earl Hall was president of Little League.
Yeah,
when I went in service and everything.
Okay,
and,
now what point in time during all this? I'm still in kind of your personal life. Did you meet that lady who's running your household over there? Tell us about the boss.
Well, her name's Leslie. Mm-hmm. She's from Marion, Illinois. She was working at a jewelry store there in Lexington called McDonald's. It was there, I think, right where Best Buy is now there on 27. I met her there in about 78, and we got married in 79.
Now, I got to ask, why were you in that jewelry store?
I met her with another friend I was dating.
Oh, okay.
She
all
was
right.
with
yeah, I mean,
guy.
You weren't in there buying jewelry for some other girl and saw this one, did you?
No.
All right.
We double dated that night with one of her friends and one of mine. We've double dated everything.
Okay.
And we got knowing each other, and I just asked around, and it just kind of...
Hey, went from there. Married in 79.
I got one son named Benjamin, and I got a beautiful granddaughter.
How old? So Benjamin's got a daughter now. Yeah. Oh, my. I didn't know
She's 10 years old. So Benjamin born November 13th, 81.
So the granddaughter not spoiled at all?
No, she's not spoiled.
Of course she is. Of course she is.
But the night we got married, Kentucky was playing Tennessee, I think it was Tennessee in the championship game of the SEC tournament. That broke everybody's heart. I mean, the crowd was, I mean, there was a pretty good crowd there at the wedding.
Yeah.
But I never will forget, Clay told Dad, said, tell him to get this thing over with. Ball game comes on at 9 o'clock.
You, at some point, you know, you played ball. You mentioned that you played baseball, and you said at some point you got interested in doing some umpiring.
Okay.
Now, the first, I guess, knowledge that I knew in the way that I kind of met you was I was playing ball, and it was Babe Ruth, as a matter of fact. Now, Babe Ruth kids at the time, and I guess it's still this way, basically was, I think, 13, 14, 15-year-old. The first person I ever played for was Manuel Walters, and then the next year, Steve Walker took his place on the Chiefs. But you had a team called the Jets.
The Jets.
And it was really funny because just about the same time.
That's when the song
comes. Yeah, Elton John comes out with this song called Benny and the Jets, and, of course, all us kids thought it was all about you.
I get a rarity for it. I should.
You should. But we had a good time, and that's kind of how. Now, hey, were you umpiring any at that time?
I started umpiring when I was 18.
Okay.
I umpired, I think, a year or two before I went in service.
Mm-hmm.
When I went in service and everything, you know, like I said, I was stationed in Germany and everything, and when I got back out, I got back in umpiring. I went to Elmer Stevens' brother, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Was athletic director at Transylvania, and so I got involved with high school. So I took my test and everything and passed it. So it was the Central Kentucky Umpire Association at that time, which it still is now.
Mm-hmm.
Elmer Stevens' brother Harry was the president of it. So I called a couple years of high school, and then I decided I wanted to coach. So that's when I took over Babe Ruth Jets.
Okay.
Jimmy had sure had the brother, Rondell, had the Jets, and Jimmy had kind of took in for him.
Yeah.
Then I took it over the next year.
Yeah, okay.
And then that's when the song come out, Benny and the Jets. So, but I coached, I think it was 6 years, Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
BJ was born in 81, and, of course, I started coaching before I got married.
Right.
But then after that, you know, I kind of lay low. I just done some umpiring and everything. I got back in doing high school in 96. Of course, I stayed involved with Little League umpiring. And then I was done for a lot of the district, and then I was on district staff there in 96. Bill Bradley was a commissioner of Little League Baseball here. So I was over, Roy Charlie was over the umpires, and I done a lot of the districts and stuff. That's where I basically got started more doing Little League Baseball and done high school when high school was going on plus Little League.
Yeah.
And every year, you know, they had the district, and that's what I called every year in the district. And then in 2000, they started this, every district hosts a state.
Yeah.
And they were sending in two umpires. Well, Roy Charlie and myself, was the first one to win.
Do you know? How was that determined? Because there's a lot of umpires involved.
The district administrator pushed you in for it.
Okay.
And then, of course, doing the state, it's not too bad. So you basically, the district administrator just sends you. Now, to get to the region, you got to work the state tournament.
Do they come out and kind of critique you and judge you?
Well, they
watch you.
They grade you. Your district administrator most knows what you're doing.
Yeah.
Especially, it was a little heads up to me because Bill Bradley was over the umpires in high school that time.
Yeah.
The Central Kentucky Umpire Association. So he knew basically what I could do.
Yeah.
And so when I filled out the papers to go to the region, it's basically got to be accepted by the region director up mm-hmm. there. And but it goes to the state coordinator, who is John Rowe, who lives in Greenville.
But when you get to this point, Benny, other than district, nobody's right. really seen you, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Then they grade you.
Yeah,
you know,
all right.
They evaluate you every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of dedication and mm-hmm. really training, mm-hmm. to get where you're at.
Now, how many games would they have looked at you to determine if you could be a region?
Well, most of the time, you get accepted for the region.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's between your district administrator and
okay.
your...
Okay, but to move on up the next level.
When you get to the region,
yeah.
that's when you evaluate.
Yeah, and they just look at all the games?
They look at all the games you do
mm-hmm.
and everything, and every game is filmed.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now the ESPN's involved with it. They televise all the championship games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've suspended that, so they do the semifinal game of each region. And they evaluate you, and then when you get evaluated up there, they'll tell you how you worked out. And I was pretty high. I was lucky enough to get the championship game of the Great Lakes region
okay.
that year. That was in 2001.
How many states would that have involved? Do you know?
There's six states in the
okay.
Great Lakes.
Okay.
There's 12 states in the region.
So you championship game, were you, how many they got, three, four umpires a game in the championship?
No.
They got one on every base?
At that time, had six.
Oh, they had six?
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
Just like the major leagues, you had one down right field and left field.
Okay. Where were you in that game? Do you remember?
Championship game, I'd done the plate.
You did the plate.
I did the plate championship.
Now, I would think, Benny, and this is just from outside looking in, that if I was going to cull to six men or women, either way, to do a game, I'd kind of want the top dog daddy behind the plate. Is that the way it works?
It is, really. They evaluate you pretty good. The only problem that year when I was there were some of the good umpires there.
Mm-hmm.
I was already penciled in what I found out later, because you don't know this.
Yeah.
You don't find out to the day of the game.
Oh, is that right?
The day of the game.
Oh.
You know.
So you walk in with your shirt on, and that's when they say you're doing this.
They tell you you'll have breakfast that morning.
Sure.
They tell you that goes
yeah.
games at night.
So you got a little bit of time right. to get nervous, but not much.
The only way I wound up, I was going to do either way. The Midwest,
yeah.
which is played in the same location at Annapolis,
mm-hmm.
and Great Lake Region play there.
Okay.
I was going to do the Great Lakes, but the only problem was Kentucky and Indiana was playing in the semifinals.
Mm.
Well, not semifinals. Well, yeah, they were playing semifinals. If Kentucky won, I wouldn't have got the Great Lakes. I'd have been moved to the Midwest.
Oh, because you're from here.
But
if Indiana, they lost, you can stay there.
Indiana caught, I can't remember the boy's name, for Owensboro Southern, who was there. He hit a ball that the right fielder jumped up and caught it. Saved them. Indiana won the game.
Oh,
it'd been a home run. Kentucky won the game.
So, by one catch, one jump up catch, determined mm-hmm. where you ended up.
Yeah, Great Lakes or the Midwest.
Wow.
So there's a lot of stuff involved, and
yeah.
then from that point, most time it takes about 5 years to get to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
You go ahead and put in for it every year.
Mm-hmm.
You might not get because the list. There's eight regions, like I said earlier, in the United States. They take two umpires from each region. Maybe
mm-hmm.
1 year might be four umpires, one for each region, but most regions get two. Then there's four international umpires over World Series. But the list is so long there for the region, that it depends on, they go back and they look at your film, evaluate you. And so I worked at region 2001. I went to World Series in 2007.
All right. So
it tells you how long it takes.
It takes off. Well, right. At the first of the program, I mentioned that you had done something that not many people done, but I really didn't say what it was. So let's do that at this time. You actually, was it 2007?
2007.
You actually in 2007... And then we'll talk about how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
Were the home plate umpire for the championship game of the World Series. Folks, we're talking about the last game to determine all the marbles. The World Series, you were the umpire behind the plate, which I don't know how long has there been a World Series. If there's been 40 of them, that's 40 umpires. Right. But so it's a very elite group. And when you look, now, you said, do you have any idea approximately how many umpires would be in the United States?
No, but I can tell you that, you know, as I get to the World Series, there's no telling how many in the region. I know in our region, there's probably 45 to 50 put in for it.
That's not all of them. That's the ones that put in. So let's just take that number, multiply it times 8 regions, plus you got international. And you came out the one.
Yeah, 16, so, there were 16 umpires at the region at the World Series.
So in 2007, how did you find out that you were going to be behind the plate on the championship game? And who played, by the way?
Okay, Warren Robins, Georgia, was the United States winner. Mm-hmm. And Tokyo, Japan, was the international. So that Friday was basically off day, and they had the semifinal games on Thursday.
Now, had you worked some other World Series games up to the championship?
I worked 14 games.
Okay.
Only done one plate.
Yeah. Okay. The rest of them were base or outfield.
Or right field.
Okay.
You work every position. You might work some twice.
Yeah, okay.
But I was there were some that worked the plate two or three times.
Yeah.
But I only worked the plate once. So that was that first Sunday I was there, and it was a game between Texas and Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And that game there was a kid named Cody Bellinger. He played center field for the Arizona team, which what makes it so neat, he plays first base for the L.A. Dodgers, who's in the World Series.
Right now.
That's so 10 years.
You umpired their first baseman currently. Wow.
There's three kids that played in the World Series that year. In 2007, that are in the major leagues.
Isn't that something?
And Cody Bellinger is the only one I can remember because I got him on my lineup sheet at home.
Do you remember ever thinking back then, that kid's going somewhere? Was he one of those kind of players that you just kind of knew?
Well, you know, you kind of knew. There's several kids. There were some good teams there. There's a lot of kids there that was good that you say, well, this guy's going to be in a major league. And he might be in a farm system now.
Yeah, right.
But I do have the lineup of the Warren Robins, Georgia, at home, and the Tokyo, Japan guys at home. But to get to the championship game, the day I found out was on Sunday morning. The game's at 3 o'clock on ABC. They told us to meet over to the headquarters at 8 o'clock. We were all over there. But they wouldn't let nobody know what position I had.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I knew I had the game, but I didn't know what position.
Okay.
Because he told me on Friday when they called at me and said, Ben, I want to let you know you don't have neither game tomorrow. That was the U.S. Championship and the International Championship game.
Yeah.
Charity.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of makes you feel low.
Because you didn't get one
of them.
What you didn't know is they were saving you for the World Series, the championship.
Said, right. He said you'll be calling Sunday. But that's the only thing I can say right now.
Wow. Well, that right there in itself. How many phone calls did you make home that right then?
Right.
To let everybody know.
Every time I called somebody home, they already knew.
News travels, doesn't it?
World travel. Well, they notified the district administrator.
Okay.
That what I had.
So you're all excited because here, folks, here it is. Here's a guy who grew up in Jessamine County, Kentucky, played baseball, enjoyed the game, coached, did all this umpiring in our little league. And all of a sudden, you find out that you're going to be one of six umpires in a championship game of the World Series. Boy, you had to be floating on cloud nine.
Oh, I was, you know. And when we had the meeting that Sunday morning, the Keener, who's the president, the CEO of Little League Baseball, he come in, you know, and we were all sitting there. He said, I want to congratulate all you guys, what you've done. You've done a great job. And he said, I know everybody's wanting to know where they're working.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not going to wait no longer. He said, Benny Wayne from Kentucky will have a plate.
Wow.
Well, it just felt like 200 pounds went off my shoulder.
Yeah.
And then the boy from Texas, I cannot remember his name, he had first base. There was a guy from Puerto Rico had second.
Yeah.
And the guy from third was from Wisconsin.
Okay.
And the lines were one guy from South Carolina and one from Louisiana. So nobody was involved in that game from Georgia.
Right.
Or Japan.
Right, right.
So, you know, you only knew it 4 hours before the ball game. So, you know, you get mic'd, you go in with our hour and a half before the game, you get mic'd. One thing you don't have to worry about no lineups. Everything's done professional, just like little majors. You pick up the phone, they report people in.
Yeah.
And we didn't have no instant replay other than home runs. We moved along pretty good in the game.
Yeah.
It was wound up being a 3-2 game. You got one guy that consists of, he's your man that takes your baseballs, your towel, and your water.
Mm-hmm.
And they want you to drink at least a half bottle of water every inning, keep from getting dehydrated. So about the seventh, we went to extra inning, and Little League game's only six innings. So in the bottom of the eighth inning, boys from Georgia led off, and I had a 2-1 pitch count on him.
Mm-hmm.
I still have it on my indicator, never did change it. And he hit one to right center field. And I knew it was gone, so it was off the bat.
Yeah.
When it, I relieved when it was over. But, you know, everybody said, was you nervous for a game? No, really, you didn't have time to think about it.
Yeah,
but
right.
Once the game gets started, it's just not like an on-the ball game. You don't realize it's on TV.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about there's 38,400 there. TV don't really see it. But
yeah.
38,400.
I would never have guessed that.
And then not counting the million people watch it on TV.
Amazing.
But this administrator called me the day of the game. He said, Benny, I want you to write three things down on your lineup card. And I said, okay, Bill, I want you to read them every inning. You look at every inning, just glance at it. And the three words he wrote down, he said, relax, slow down, and have fun.
Yeah.
And I looked at that every inning, and it does. It relaxes you. But, you know, it's just like, once the game starts, it's just like no game.
Was it a pretty smooth running guy? I mean, you have any managers coming out hollering at you or anything?
No. They don't come out. They might come out, call time, come out and question.
Yeah.
We did have, they thought the foul ball hit the bat, the Japanese guys. Of course, they have an interpreter.
Yeah, right.
That comes out and talks to you. And all they look and everything, and the announcers, funniest thing about the two announcers was Brent Musburger, Earl Hershiser.
Oh, yeah.
He roomed right beside me in the motel, so I talked to him basically every morning.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that night he thought that at first they had missed it, it was foul ball.
Yeah.
And when they replayed on TV, he didn't foul it off.
Oh, yeah.
So basically they don't come out at all to talk to you.
Yeah.
But it was smooth, you know, game and everything. Basically, both teams was equal. There was 13 strikeouts on each side. But I thought it was pretty neat to, you know, find out you call his game in World Series, Little League World Series. 10 years later, he's playing.
Oh, yeah, playing Little exactly. Little Have you done much? That, of course, I would expect, is the pinnacle of your umpiring career.
Is.
Have you done much since?
I've done some. I really gave it up in 2014.
Yeah.
Doug Flynn, which is a real good friend, Jim Mitchell, that come in show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Doug there one day, I said, Doug, when you got out of baseball, I said, was it hard? Did you miss it? He said, Benny, your body will let you know when it's time to give it up. Well, 2014, we was at Bowling Green. I worked state tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my 19th state tournament working. And about third inning, my knees got hurt.
Yeah.
And, of course, my back hurts all the time. I have a little back problem. And I said, this is it.
That's it.
So
you know.
I walked off the field. I got the game ball. I signed it, gave it to John Rowe, who's state coordinator. He looked at me and said, what's this? I said, John, I'm done. I can't do it no more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so
time.
It is.
There comes a time in everything that you do, no matter what it is, that you know that it's time. And let the torch be passed to someone else. That is an exciting story. I mean, you know, that's just one of those things that a lot of people, you don't think about. I mean, we have from this county so many people who have done some extraordinary things that we've even had on this program. I mean, we were talking about Chris Holtzman, and look what he's done in his coaching career, and we talk about, you know, what? Shoot, Keith Peel went on to play. I guess he was the first one to sign with a D1 school, as far as I know.
He played Ole Miss.
Yeah, and then you look at people in other walks of life, like John Michael, and you know, we could name a bunch. But in this, you know, this folks, I hope you realize the magnitude of how important this is for him to reach this point out of the whole world, basically. I mean, there's just not many people that can say that they umpired in a championship game, let alone that they umpired the home plate in a championship game. And that's not slighting any other umpire on the field. But when you're behind home plate, your job is just a little bit more complex and involved than somebody that might be out in the outfield. That's a great story. I appreciate you sharing with it. I'm sure you do. This answer to this question, you wish you could do it again.
Oh, I'd love to. But, you know, go back. You only got one opportunity to do the World Series.
Yeah.
You know, once you've done it, you know, there's 8 World Series counting the girls' softball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the 11, 12-year-olds at World Series played in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Now, you can do each one of them, but you cannot do one the same again.
Again.
Once you do it. So enjoy it when you get there.
And yeah.
Just like I said, everybody said, well, it was really baseball. Well, so it's literally baseball.
It's literally baseball.
But you look, the crowd is at every
exactly.
year. Now, there was almost 350,000 people mm-hmm. there doing that 1 week.
Well, and it's not just yeah. that, too, Benny. Mm-hmm. It's helping to build futures of kids. You just mentioned mm-hmm. the what's his name, center fielder?
Cody Bellinger.
Bellinger. I mean, you know, you are involved. You, mm-hmm. Benny Wayne, were involved in a part of his life getting to where he is now. And so that's, you know, that's as important as anything else that anybody can do. So what are you doing now? I know you're doing, got the umpire behind you. Tell me what you're doing. We haven't talked about your current stuff.
Well, basically not much. You know, I worked at Thompson Sure,
mm-hmm.
Which was on with Jimmy Ed and Ben
right.
Sure there.
They've Boy, been you've been business. There a long time.
I've been there going on 21 years.
Has it been that long?
It's been that long.
Oh, wow.
And, after Mr. Sure passed away last year, you know, it was a heartbreaker, really.
Well, sure it was.
He had planned on doing, having a cool count and everything for 50 years. So in February, but we were going to do it in June.
Yeah.
And, of course, he passed away in May and everything. Mm-hmm. But I started working for them back in 96. You couldn't find no better people to work. And but they was been great to me. I wouldn't be able to umpire if it had been for them, giving the time off to umpire.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty told me when I left, she said, as soon as you get your schedule, you know, send us. Well, they give you a schedule for the World Series, what you're going to have early, you know, the first mm-hmm. two or three days.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent it back, and she made printouts of it and put it out there for people to watch and everything. But it was enjoyable to get to do it. You know, not me. People from Kentucky, you know, get to go to the World Series. I only know two. There might have been more, but I know there's only two that have went.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Turley from Winchester, which worked championship game at first base.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't think of his name. He went back in the early 90s. He worked second base.
Mm-hmm.
But get to play on the championship game, to me, it was awesome.
Well, sure. It was, sure it was.
But everything is really, they make it big. Everything's about the kids up there. You have to pay your own way up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they take care of your motel room
mm-hmm.
and everything, and they give you a little condemn money for
mm-hmm.
for food and eat on and everything. But I just thought it was neat, you know, being in the same motel. And that one motel on people's there is ESPN crew,
mm-hmm.
some of the DAs,
mm-hmm.
and you know, like I said, it's police, state police there and FBI.
Yeah.
Now, you do go through a metal detector up there.
Yeah.
Before you go in the ball field, it don't cost nothing
right.
to go see a ball game. But they go over early in the morning. They inspect the stadium and
yeah.
everything. And these days, you got to do that.
But and it's a shame.
They treat the kids. And it
yeah.
is.
It's a shame they have to, but we got to make sure these kids are safe.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just a nice experience. You know, I'd love to do it again. I know you can't, but one time. But, you know, I wouldn't – what I'd – done in the past, umpire and everything, it would be hard to give up.
By the way, folks, he mentioned Thompson Cheer. He worked there. He's still there. It's been bought after Jim Ed's passing locally by the Halls, and it's Halls Feed and Seed. In fact, they are sponsors on our radio station here. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever out that way, stop by and see Benny. Say hi to him. Thanks for coming in. This has been very interesting. I'm glad that we got this on record because it's something that's very special to know that we've got people involved in that part of a major sport. So appreciate you telling us all about it, Benny.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Doug.
My thanks to Benny Wayne for coming in and sharing his story today on All Things Jessamine. I appreciate you coming in also. We'll do it again next Saturday at 11 o'clock. Hey, don't forget, I'm on every weekday morning with our regular show from 6 until 8 weekdays right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.